And he's the best. That's Joe Rathburn, backed up by John Foltz. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to start with something today. Kind of making noises there. So tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, where we honor his legacy. And so I wanted to start with that today before I jump into my talk. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But, one of the things, so let me start with this. So this month we're going back to basics of the science of mind philosophy. We do that every January, that we go back to the foundation of our belief system. And that's in the first four chapters of the textbook, which is the science of mind. And I try to revisit those foundational chapters every year because it's a really great place to start our year from. And one of the concepts that Ernest Holmes, the founder, talks about is that all is love and all is law. And so he talks about the power of love as that inspiration that inspires us, that calls us to want to create something in the world, in our lives, and our lives are a gift unto the world. And so love is the inspiration, but the law of cause and effect, the law of when we make a choice, something happens. When that happens, love is the inspiration, and law makes it possible. Okay? Follow me so far? All right. Yes? Okay. Okay. You're staring at me. Everybody have their did you have your coffee this morning? Come on, it's okay. We're a loose church. Come on, you can say yes. You follow me so far? If you don't, tell me. Okay, all right, good. So thank you. See, that's fun. Okay, so that being said, what I came across was this a writing by Martin Luther King where he talks about love and power. And here we are. I will admit it. I try not to go there very often, but here we are at the beginning of something that could be the beginning of a contentious week. Maybe for some? Okay, yeah. So I'm rising and holding the space for peace and harmony and understanding and all of that. But let's face it, in this week, there could be some tumult. But anyway, so I found this writing that speaks to this. So that's what I wanted to start. That's a long story for a very short thing. I've got some words of wisdom I want to share with you. So here we go. Okay. All right, love and power. And so the words of Martin Luther King Jr., from his last presidential address to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference from August 16, 1967, he says this. Now, power, properly understood, is nothing but the ability to achieve purpose. One of the great problems of history is that the concepts of love and power have usually been contrasted as opposites, polar opposites, so that love is identified with a resignation of power and power with a denial of love. We've got to get this thing right. What is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice, and justice at its best is power correcting everything that stands against love. It is precisely this collision of immoral power with the powerless morality which constitutes the major crisis of our times. Right? Take a breath of that for a minute. And so what I want to say about that is love is empowerment, is empowering for ourselves and for the world. And that's why next, our February is all focused on love, and I'm teaching that class on love, and it's not just about calling in the one, right, that one soulmate. It's about embracing this path of life as love. So we're going to talk a lot about that, but I thought I would honor those words that came across my path this week as we honor the legacy that Martin Luther King left us. So that being said, today we're going to take a look in the mirror. Isn't that a cute little guy? I love that little friend of mine. So this this month we've kicked off our new theme for the year, which is 2020 Perfect Spiritual Vision. And the idea of that is that what we're going to do this year is, with all that's going on in the world and the election and blah, 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 all that craziness, what I want us to do is to keep our vision high of what's possible, to keep our vision and our eye on the divine perfection of life revealing itself so that we don't get sucked into that abyss of tumult and disharmony and all of the craziness. So everything that we're going to do this year is really about aligning us with the highest possibility for ourselves and for this world, and keeping ourselves high, seeing the truth of what's possible and calling it into being. So that's what we're going to do this year. And like I said, this month we're going back to basics, to the foundation of the philosophy upon which we study and we live. And this week we're going to take a look in the mirror. So as we, you know, we're revisiting what it means to be creative, divine channels in our lives. Often you'll hear in spiritual circles, people will say, well, I'm really a spiritual being having a human experience, right? You've heard that before? I've probably said it. I actually usually say I'm a spiritual being having a spiritual experience in a human body, but I won't split hairs today. So the issue with this statement is it's true because we forget that. We forget In the experience of our lives, in the unfoldment of our day-to-day lives, as we go through this experience, we forget that there's an aspect of ourselves that's spiritual. We forget that we are connected to something greater than we are. We get lulled into we get hypnotized into thinking that all of the conditions of our lives reflect the truth define the truth of who we are. They do not. The external experience of your life is only a reflection of where your consciousness is. It's not about your worth. And so what we're trying to do is what we want to do is we want to take a look in the mirror. And no, I'm not going to have you do those. I'm also not going to have you do those exercises. Those people who are laughing know what I'm going to say. I am not going to make you stand naked in front of the mirror this week and say, I love you, right? I'm not going to have you do that. I'm not going to do it. I have been at multiple workshops that have told me to go home and do that, you know, and one that they actually said to do it all together, and I was like, I'm out. That was a long time ago. I was like, I'm out. Sorry, I'm gone. No, that's not what we're doing. But what I want you to do is to take a look at your life. I want you to take a look at where you are now. What I mean by taking a look in the mirror is when you look in the mirror, do you see the true nature of your being? This little kitty is seeing the true nature of its being. Okay, it may be a kitten, but at its core, it's the same thing as a tiger. That same divine power and presence that's alive within the tiger is alive within that kitten. And when that kitten's looking in that mirror, it can see the truth of its being. When you look in the mirror, are you seeing the tiger? Or are you seeing every mistake you think you've ever made? Are you seeing everything that you call a failure in your life? Are you seeing every wrong turn you've made or every reason why you can't have what you want? Because let me tell you, for the majority of us, that's what we see when we look at our lives. That's what we see when we look in the mirror. We see our failures. We see our shortcomings. We forget to see the God that's right there. So each of us is part of this powerful presence, this creative force that has brought forth the universe is alive within us. If God created everything, then it created you. And that means that you are part of it. And so there is this aspect of you that is far beyond what you think of yourself. And it's sitting there, right where you are, waiting for you to acknowledge it, to embrace it, to welcome it, and to allow it to support you. From the reading today from Ernest Holmes, I'll tell you that 365 Science of Mind book we sold out of it last week, and we got a whole nother shipment in this week, so there's like 10 more in the bookstore if you want them. They're wonderful daily little reminders of the truth of who we are. And so what we're trying to do here is remember that any limitation that we are putting on ourselves is self-imposed. We are the ones that are creating our experience. We are the ones that are creating those walls. Recently we went bowling, my family. We've done a lot of like video bowling on Wii, which is really fun. So we thought, wouldn't it be fun? Let's really go bowling, okay? My arm is still sore from the heavy balls of that. But my daughter, we put up the bumpers, right? Are you living within your bumpers, right? Are you living within a limitation that doesn't allow you to go beyond. Now, of course, in bowling, if you go beyond, it's usually a bad thing. I know my analogy is not really working, but you get what I'm saying. There's adventure out there for you, and are you allowing yourselves to open to the possibility of it, or are you creating a false wall there that's holding you back? And sometimes it holds us back so much that we can't even connect with what it is those desires of our hearts are, what it is those inspirations that come to us are. We can't even hear it. We are connected as a channel to that infinite divine source that has infinite ideas and possibilities for you. Some people will say to me, I'm not creative. I always say, you're just not listening. There's no possibility for me to shift my life. You're just not looking. Because it's always there. We are always guided and inspired and supported, but so often we have created this false barrier around us that keeps us small, that holds us back, that we can't get beyond some of those ideas that we're holding about how painful life is supposed to be. This hypnotism in this life, what it does is it teaches us that life's supposed to be a struggle. It teaches us that I better get my own because there's not enough to go around. It teaches us that life is so hard that we need to protect ourselves, we need to protect our hearts, and we need to hold back. That's the message that we're getting from the world. But it's not true. There is love there for you that is so beyond what's possible for you to even imagine. That yes, sometimes things will come up in life and they're hard. But just like Joe sang today, there's nothing that you can't handle. There is great support for you if you open your eyes and allow it to come in a different form than you expect it to. Do you ever have that experience where you expect that this is the person who's going to support me, or this is the job that's going to give me what I need to live, or this is, and then that goes away, right? What can you depend on? You could teach yourself that I can't depend on anything. Or if you opened your eyes and started to look around, you'd see that there's great support coming in from another avenue. But because it's not family, or it's not this, or it's not that, whatever it is, we don't acknowledge it. The truth is that life so badly wants you to have a full experience, be a full expression, that it will pour itself forth to us. But we are the ones who, by looking in the mirror and not seeing the tiger, are blocking ourselves off. We are the ones that limit us. And we need to start with us. We need to start with us. And so, I know, and I have great compassion for the fact that sometimes it really does feel like something on the outside is out to get us. Something on the outside, it feels like we're being attacked or held back or judged or something harshly from the outside, and it can really feel that way. But what I'm going to encourage us all to do is to take a spiritual step deeper within to understand that life itself is trying to support us in expanding. Life itself is trying to give us what it is that we want. And what this philosophy teaches us is that it is done unto you as you believe. All right, it is done unto you as you believe. And so it is so perfect and it is so ingeniously created that if you believe it's not going to work, it's going to work by not working. Right? There is no way around it. There is no way getting around belief and faith. Because if you say, well, you know, Reverend Catherine talks about this stuff and it sounds kind of good, but I've never been able to make it work, so it doesn't really work, so it's, you know, that and that's what you truly believe, that's what's going to happen. It's not going to work. And it's amazing to me that, and I love that, because it means that wisdom is so minutely immersed in everything that we have, that there is this wisdom and there is this knowledge that supports us so much that it's going to even support our unbelief until we wake up. Until we step into our faith, until we start to wake up to the fact that maybe there's something different going on here than I think. Maybe I am part of something greater. And if I just leap, if I take the chance, if I say what needs to be said, if I allow myself to show up authentically, we get pushed to the point where we have to do that. We get pushed to the point where we can no longer hold ourselves back and pretend that it's okay. So I thought of it as this way. Your brain is a supercomputer, and your belief system, your self-talk, is the program that will run on it. Follow? Okay, so you're the supercomputer, and your self-talk is the program that will run it. And so the infinite wisdom comes through our mind, which is located somewhere, we don't know where, but our brain is that tuner, is that computer. And so if you are putting garbage into it, if you are running a garbage program from Windows 95, okay, on your amazing supercomputer, it's going to be garbage. It's going to be gunky and slow. That's for all my I'm not going to gender it, but mostly my male tech geek friends here. I put that one in for you. Follow? Right? So, and that's how it works. That if you, so if you are going to put garbage into your consciousness, you're going to get garbage out. All right? So that means judgment, anger, fear, worry, all of that stuff that's not founded in the presence, that's going to operate and ping pong through your consciousness so much that you're going to attract that. We are either attracting or repelling our good. You are either attracting or repelling your good. And it's by how you hold yourself. It's by how you hold who you are and what you see when you look in the mirror. So I just want to remind us that Spirit works for us by working through us. And there's no separation. Now, truth is, I can't stand up here and say, I am God, right? Or you are God. You are part of the divine. You are part of that which has created all things. Are you the totality of God, the whole enchilada? You know, not really. Okay? But the truth is that the nature that you are is the same as the nature of the infinite one. You are an aspect of it. And so what that means is that as God is creative, you are creative. As God is inspired by the powerful presence of love, so are you. As the divine thrives and expands and evolves and continually pours itself forth, that's what we are called to do. We reflect that divine nature. And if we are not doing that, if we are holding ourselves back, if we are not engaging in some creative aspect, then we are denying our birthright. We're denying who we truly are. And so each and every day, we are called to engage in life in a creative way. Each and every moment, we are called to be that presence of light and that love in the world. And if we are aligning with that, then we are embracing our good. And we are an open channel to welcome all of that the infinite wants to pour itself forth, or we are denying it, which means that we are repelling it. You can see yourself as empowered, or you can see yourself as weak, and it's really how it all lives within your own consciousness. So what does it mean to partake of the divine nature? It means that we're made from the presence of love. It means that we are all creative beings, and we are endless, timeless, and constantly expanding. And so as Emerson said, there is no great or small to the soul that maketh all, right? So if the infinite one can create the cosmos in a snap or a bang, what do you think you could do? You have great potential and possibility where you are. You have to believe that you can do it. And you have to open to allowing that to happen. Ernest Holmes says this. He says, our belief sets the limit to our demonstration of a principle which of itself is without limit. Okay, so our beliefs are the only things that limit our creativity. It is ready to fill everything because it is infinite. So it's not a question of its willingness or its ability. It's entirely a question of our own receptivity. So the question is, what do you believe? And what do you see when you look in the mirror of your life? Let us realize and work to expand our knowledge and faith, realizing that as deeply as we can accept the true nature of our being, the more powerful and broad creation our lives will be. So I was thinking about this. I was trying to find an example of this in the world, and it's I guess I'm doing true confessions today. But so I know we're here in the middle of this, heightened sports time. Being a Patriots fan, I'm not as engaged this year, I'll admit it. But that's fine. I'll get over it. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, but what I want to share is that, so we have a family, and I may have shared this before, but my family is, our equivalent to sports is the series of baking championships on television, right? So the Food Network has these kids baking championship and the holiday baking championship, and now we've transferred over to the Great British Bake Off, which is our new favorite. And so, but we watch this like most people watch sports, right? So we each take a person after the first episode and we're rooting for them all the way, you know? And there have been times when maybe we've yelled at the TV just a little bit, and by we, I mean me, and because I get very excited about my people, right? And they make cakes and all sorts of wonderful things. But anyway, so recently we were going through, British Bake Off is now on Netflix, so we were kind of binging one of the seasons a couple years ago. And my guy was this guy named Raul. Okay, now Raul was this young guy who was a transplant from India who was living in England. And these are home bakers who go through some process and they end up in the tent. Anybody who watches it knows that. When you get to the tent, it's like the big time, right? So anyway, so here's Raul, this shy, quiet, little Indian man who kicks it, knocks it out of the park every time. Everything he does, he doesn't know half the things. He's from India. He doesn't know what half of these things were, but every time he went to make it, it was great. His flavor combinations were amazing. He was able to bring really creative, interesting things forward. He's a beautiful decorator. And he made it to the end, right? But I have to tell you, it was painful being on Team Raul for me. Because every time he went to be judged, it looked like his head was going to pop off. The guy was like afraid every time they tasted something of his, and every time they tasted something of his, it was amazing. And he kept going through each test, through each one. He would end up in the top of each and every one of them. And so it got to the point where he was crying one time, thinking that they were really going to hate what he had. And he won the whole thing, right? And so when I was thinking about this, Raul was really heavy in my head, and I was like, why do I have to tell your story, Raul? And it's this. How painful is it to go through life thinking that everyone's going to judge you as being a failure when you're incredible, right? How painful is it to have to depend on somebody else's affirmation of you to feel okay or settled in yourself? It doesn't matter. It didn't matter that his stuff was amazing. It didn't matter. He was giving his artistry to the world. He was giving his gifts to the world. He was giving his best foot forward. And yes, of course, I understand that it's a competition and they need to be judged and they need to, you know, be picky about it and all of that. And that must be a really scary thing. But what I want for each one of us is to be able to give our gift and to be settled in ourselves and say, that's enough. If you know that you're doing your best in your life, if you know that you're being your authentic self right where you are today, if you know that you are looking at the truth of who you are and sharing that with the world, that's enough. And my best wish for each one of us is that, and I'm including myself in that too, is that you can find a place where you can realize that it's enough and it's okay. Because you are part of that divine unfoldment, and we are ever expanding. We are ever revealing more of ourselves. So by changing the way we see ourselves, we begin to transform our experience. I want to remind us that we are made up of conscious thought, we are made up of subconscious thought, and we are made up of unconscious thought, right? And so when we are not consciously putting clarity and our declaration of truth of who we are into our conscious minds, that subconscious and unconscious part of ourselves is calling in our experience. And so that's where our limitations come from. That's where our blocks come from. That's where our old hurts and pains and all that baggage that we've carried from all those years of living rise up, our woundedness, right? And so the good news is this. Ernest Holmes teaches us that trained thought is much more powerful than untrained thought. So when we participate in our spiritual practices, when we do our meditation, when we use our affirmations, when we connect with visioning, when we make a declaration, when we do our spiritual study, what we're doing is we're pouring in that truth into our conscious awareness. And that is much more powerful than any old, unhealed thing that's hanging out in our subconscious. And so that's why we encourage our spiritual practices. That's why we encourage participation in a group with classes, with our book study, with our circles, with whatever it is it's going to do for you, even just your daily reading. Because what that's going to do is it's going to connect you on not only your conscious level, but on that deep knowing of who you are. And so when we can do that, everything starts to calm down. We find a peace of mind with ourselves. And you could actually do that mirror reflection exercise if you want without any clothes on and be okay with that. That was kind of funny, right? Wasn't it? Well, they say if you're afraid of public speaking, you picture everybody in their underwear. I do not do that. I do not do that. I do not do that. I don't know where I'm going today. Okay, so again, Ernest Holmes teaches us that the thing that can work for us only as much as it can work through us. Let us accept more good today than we experienced yesterday, and tomorrow more good than we experienced today, and so on and so on. When we decide and declare that we are living a spiritual life and we are walking this path with God, we have to walk the path with God, which means that we have to find a way to connect to that each and every day. And whatever that is for you, I wish I could tell you what to do. Turn around 3 times, jump up and down, and there you go. I wish I could do that, right? But I can't, because I don't know what connects you with that powerful presence. I don't know what you need. What would remind you of your true nature in the unique way that will inspire you to remember in those hard times, when those challenges pop up, for you to be able to say, something else is operating here. Something good is coming. There is power and strength that is guiding me through this. I am open to the wisdom that inspires my next steps. That's living a spiritual life. That's living in connection with the powerful presence of God on a daily basis. And so my goal is, my best wish and my goal for us this year is that each and every day we connect with that. We open to it. We allow it to be the truth of our being. And when you look in that mirror, you see the tiger that you are, because you are a tiger. And so it is.